So my name is Ted Rutland. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Geography, Planning, and Environment at Concordia University.
Thank you so much for coming to talk with me today. Let's talk about the budget increase we saw for police. $35 million of additional funding from last year for police. Can you tell me a little bit about how this latest budget increase falls in line with what we've been seeing the last few years from the Projet Montréal administration?
Yeah, so since 2020, the Projet Montréal government has increased the police budget by more than any other large city in Canada. They passed a record budget increase for 2022. They set a new record for 2023. This latest budget increase of $35 million is smaller than the last 2 years, but it's still in, you know, probably the third largest budget increase in the city's history. And, you know, it's useful to think about these budget increases in relation to 2020, because that was the moment of the second wave of the Black Lives Matter movement. It was a time where defunding the police, reinvesting in communities, and reimagining public safety was on everyone's lips, where a majority of Canadians supported defunding the police, and where defunding the police came to be synonymous with Black Lives Matter. And so, you know, if we want to look at the record of Projet Montréal since 2020, it's not hard to conclude that Black lives don't matter to them, which no one who's paying attention is surprised about that. It's a white gentrifier party. The police benefit them. The police fit into their vision of kind of bringing a suburban kind of culture to the city where, like, you should not ever have to feel uncomfortable. I mean, that's the ideology of the suburbs. They're bringing that to the city. And so, you know, safety is a really important thing, but we're not talking about safety here. We're talking about making privileged people feel comfortable at all times. And so an unhoused person on the corner is a problem because that might make someone feel uncomfortable. Three Black teenagers on the corner are going to make what certain white people feel uncomfortable. So that's a problem. And so they've just been throwing money at the police. And it's perfectly consistent with their kind of vision for the city, which is just to gentrify everything.
I'm wondering if you can just tell me about, is there any reason that they might be doing this apart from just general electability? Like in the budget presentation this year, they said, well, we need to give this money because of the collective agreement for, we need to raise officer salaries. And they also said, we need to hire 225 new officers by the end of next year, both for enforcement, but also because of the massive overtime that police officers of Montreal are putting in. So they said this might be actually a way counterintuitively to cut spending. This is their rationale, right? Is that it's kind of about the police, how they operate, and these budget mechanisms are like basically as good as they can do to try and moderate that in any way. What is your response to that?
Well, they increased the budget by $65 million last year in order to hire 150 more police officers. The police didn't hire 150 more police officers. They spent all their money anyway, and they went over their budget by $47 million. So, you know, someone might want to explain how we gave them $65 million to hire more cops. They didn't do it. They used the money anyway, and then went over their budget by $47 million. So now this year, we're told we need to give them $35 million so they can hire more cops. You know, what's going to happen is they're not going to hire them. They're going to spend all that money and they're going to go over their budget again. The Montreal police go over their budget by an average of $35 million a year, every year. So they basically give themselves their own budget. They're the only police force in Canada that does this. The closest comparable to Montreal is Vancouver, which goes over its budget by an average of $2 million a year. That's $2 million. And so, you know, and that's money we could be spending on other things. You know, this isn't just that you're milking taxpayers for this money, many of whom come from communities who are targeted by the police. And so we're asking, you know, Black people, Indigenous people, Latinx, Arab people to pay extra money every year for a police force that overwhelmingly harms them. But it's money that could be spent on any number of other things. I mean, the homelessness budget for the city is $6 million a year. And a motion was presented 2 months ago to double that budget to $12 million, and Projet Montréal voted against it. But policing homeless people costs money. A report by the Quebec Union municipalities, in other words, all the large cities in Quebec, of which Montreal is a part, found that the cost of policing and incarcerating unhoused people is $17,000 a year per unhoused person. You know, you could get them an apartment for that, right? And that's just the policing and court costs, right? And so we're spending the money regardless, but we're spending the money to punish people and to harm people rather than to actually address, you know, sort of problems of harm, violence, and discomfort at their root.
Yeah, why is Montreal such an outlier? Do you have any ideas or you know, has your research shown anything that we do differently that, you know, allows the police to operate with, it sounds like, financial impunity, if not, you know, other kinds of impunity that we see when police watchdog investigations in Quebec go nowhere, yield no charges for officers?
Montreal is one of the only large cities that has political parties. The other is Vancouver, but I'll explain why that's different in a second. And so we are stuck right now with Ensemble Montréal, a conservative suburban party, and Projet Montréal, a liberal urban party. And there's no other people who can speak out about this. We have a couple of independent councillors who I'm hoping will say something this year. But Projet Montréal basically squats the center right to the left of the political spectrum. You know, people who are progressive tend to vote for them, even though they're not a progressive party. But there are no progressive people in the party anymore. They've all left because they were silenced. And so the condition of being part of the party is that you follow the party line. You don't speak about this. In a city like Toronto, which is not better in many ways, no, there are no formal political parties. So you're always going to have some city councillors who are going to call attention to this. And then the mayor or whoever has to respond. But here, like, the Ensemble Montréal isn't going to call Projet Montréal to better oversee the police. And no one within Projet Montréal can do it. So it's just, and then the media don't do the work of looking into this because the politicians aren't talking about it. And so we're stuck with this situation that continues from year to year. The reason I said Vancouver also has political parties is they have a few political parties, and one of them is a left-wing party, COPE. They've often had, you know, Jean Swanson is an amazing city councillor who has been in City Hall for years. And so even though they also have political parties, they do have a left-wing political party, which we do not have in Montreal. So that accounts for like a little bit more of their ability to have progressive policies around public safety.
Yeah, though, as you say, Ensemble Montréal, now that they're in opposition, are throwing out some motions that seem to almost just be pointing out the lack of progressive policies within Projet Montréal. Like you mentioned, the doubling of the homelessness budget. It's debatable whether this kind of approach is really something that's at the heart of Ensemble Montréal's politics, but, you know, they seem to be throwing out quite a few motions that are like this, that are kind of oddly pressuring Projet Montréal to put its money where its mouth is. But I'm curious about, you know, you said that the $35 million we're seeing this year isn't even the biggest increase we've seen in the last few years, that it's been massive increases year after year. Is that specifically a response to the events of 2020 with Black Lives Matter, the protests over George Floyd? Like, is that why we're seeing so much money for the police, or is that kind of, is there something else at work? Because it's hard to understand why they would set these record-breaking budget increases at a time when people were, yeah, calling for a diversion of those services to other intervention teams or forms of public safety.
So it was probably a month or 2 months after the first big protests in June 2020 that the Montreal Police, the Montreal Police Brotherhood, the so-called police union, as well as police forces and police brotherhoods across Canada, started to wage a counteroffensive to the Black Lives Matter movement, to the Defund the Police movement. And their first message was, of course we want to do prevention. Of course we want, you know, social services. We need more investment in all these programs, everything that Black Lives Matter is asking for, but you don't have to defund the police. And so that was the message across Canada in the early days of 2020. And then a couple of months later, basically across Canada, all the police forces and police brotherhoods also developed an argument about why we needed more police to respond to particular kinds of crime or quote unquote disorder. And so in Vancouver, it was unhoused people and drug users. In Toronto, it was security on the subway system. In Montreal, it was gun violence. And then, a month later, they sort of revealed that what they really mean is gang violence, which is their code word for Black people. And the Montreal police have been able to use the fear of gangs since 1989. Whenever there's a large protest against police racism or violence, they say that we need more resources to combat gangs. And it doesn't sound like a racist thing to say gangs, but gang is a synonym for Black youth or Black young adult in Montreal. And so they're basically saying we need money to go after those Black criminals, but they don't have to say it because they can just use the word gang. And that's what they've done for 3 years. I think that the police and police brotherhoods would have fought for more money anyway, because there's all kinds of social disruptions that came with the COVID pandemic. And so there's more homelessness, there is more violence, there's more gun violence, but there's also more domestic violence. Like, our society got ruptured in various kinds of ways. And so there was more of the things that the police typically campaign on to get more power, to get more money. So I think they would have done this anyway, but certainly they were also doing it as a way of pushing back against the Defund the Police movement. And then the sort of mystery is, why would Projet Montreal just buy into that? Why would they not have learned a single thing about the Black Lives Matter and Defund the Police movement and realized that those movements are not saying that there's no problems. They're not saying there's no violence. They're not saying there's no harm. What they're saying is the best way to prevent harm, to keep each other safe, is not the police. The police are a source of unsafety to many communities, and they also don't prevent anything. And so, to me, it's a reflection of the fact that we have a political party, Projet Montréal. It's a party of white gentrifiers. They would never have read anything by like a Black intellectual or a Black activist or an Indigenous activist or like a left-wing trans activist. Like, they're living in their little liberal world. They like bike lanes, they like traffic calming, they like pedestrianized streets, and that's it. I think when white people have not don't take seriously ideas from the Black Liberation Movement or from Indigenous land back or Indigenous sovereignty movements, it's like that's just a reflection of a very common racism, where we don't imagine that these movements have anything to teach us. But of course, to me, it's quite the opposite. It's those movements that have everything to teach us.
It sounds also like you're saying that it's no coincidence that Montreal is at once the sort of paradise of like Canadian urbanists, where they come and they visit, they take a photo of all the traffic calming devices and pedestrianized streets, and it's this kind of cop city, right? That those things go together. What would you say to those people to sort of break through that a little bit? Because I think it's tough for people who say, we need to advocate for homeless people on our streets. We need to pay attention to how racialized Montrealers are still being targeted disproportionately by police and stopped by police. It can be hard to say that to people who are experiencing maybe more disruptions, seeing more people in distress post-COVID and just want to feel comfortable.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone wants to feel comfortable, right? And the thing about living in a city is you're never going to feel comfortable all the time. That is what it means to live in a city versus a suburb. And I'm generalizing here, but that's been the idea of the city, going back hundreds of years as a space of encounter. Everything that exists in the society is in the city. We see it every day. And to me, that also means that it's a worldly space. We encounter people who come from all over the world, who speak different languages, who bring different cultures and political traditions with them. And that's what's wonderful about a city. And so the tragic thing about Projet Montréal is there's this party of urbanism, But what they're trying to promote really is a very bland, pacified, controlled, suburban lifestyle in the city. And so I think that one thing is just to reconnect people with what cities are all about, and recognize that there's a huge benefit to being in a place that is diverse, that isn't totally controlled. But then I would say also, policing unhoused people doesn't make that sense of insecurity go away. The police themselves will tell you, like, they don't like policing unhoused people for the most part because they know it doesn't do anything. You're kicking someone out of one park. They don't have anywhere to go, so they're going to go somewhere else. And then someone will complain about that person over there in the police, and then now the police have to go and move that person again. Like, they don't even want to do this work for the most part. Some cops are psychotic and they like love terrorizing unhoused people, but for the most part, they actually believe in their work and believe that the police are there to keep people safe, and they know that this doesn't do it. So I would just say that, when we call for defunding the police, we're not calling for more feelings of unsafety. We're calling for more real safety by actually addressing things through care and support rather than pointless punishment. So we could be housing people. It would cost far less to house every unhoused person than to police them all year. And then everybody benefits.